listening to Lucha Underground.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Lucha Underground, the premiere Lucha Underground after show. My name is Max. With me, as always,
Travis. Was that, you didn't do your new trademark intro.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're a little low energy tonight. We're recording a little later than usual.
It's true. It's true. You know.
It's cool.
It's a late one. I mean, news and notes, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Might as well.
Do we have news and notes?
Not really.
Yeah. We're the premier.
Yeah. I've been kind of following the AAA Taya Mundo drama a little bit, just seeing odd things every now and again.
Yeah.
Just some little snips or little snide remarks back and forth kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it does sound like they're going to work it into a shoot with, or shoot it into a work, I should say.
Transform the shoot into a work, which makes the most sense. Mm-hmm. It's the correct thing to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Because Johnny Mundo is still their champ. So they're just going to try to make lemonade, I get, or what's the, god damn it. Lemonade.
This is gonna go great tonight.
Yeah, we got it.
It's gonna go great. I've got some news and notes.
Mm.
Skip Chason, who you may know as one of the
Chason.
Chason. I don't know. C H I S S O N. Skip. Yes. Skip Chason.
You don't watch enough hockey, my friend.
Yeah, there you go. Anyways, he's one of the producers on Lucha Underground. He was recently interviewed at San Diego Comic-Con, I believe.
Okay.
Or, no, it's something called the TCA Summer Press Tour. No idea what that is. But he was saying that the fourth season of Lucha Underground is looking likely.
Hmm.
Looking likely, but they haven't filmed anything.
Nope.
So, I mean, even if we were to get a season four of Lucha Underground, we wouldn't be looking at it until for a very long time before it was broadcast, I would think.
I would wager 2018 at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, for sure. But he had a lot of nice things to say about the wrestlers, and that he loved working on it and would love to work on it some more. Cool. Also, Ricochet did a interview with Sports Illustrated this week, and he went on the record, clarified his status about his comments at the G1 special, and basically said he was just sort of like trying to ruffle some feathers,
sure,
but no hard feelings.
Cool.
Everything's good.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's nice that we can put that one to rest.
Mm-hmm.
He also says that his contract is done. He was on a 3-year contract, and that contract is over.
Hmm.
But, so, you know, he doesn't have to come back. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe Prince Puma doesn't make it through the rest of the season.
Hmm.
We'll see. You never know.
We'll see.
Other than that, anything else going on?
No, sir.
All right. Well, we'll be here next week.
Question me. Will you join us?
I'm kidding. Let's get into the episode.
Most importantly, violence!
Lucha Underground, Season 3, Episode 28. Recap, of course, Cueto Cup. See a little bit of Drago and Cobra Moon. Johnny Mundo and Worldwide Underground getting involved with Rey Mysterio. Son of Madness again. I was like, what? Give this guy a break.
Yeah, this guy needs to catch his breath.
Yeah. And PJ Black and the old Benji, the new agent. And they talk about getting a match with Rey.
Mm-hmm.
Leads us into the temple band, ECNO. I'm going to start calling them now because it's easier. Singing the song that I know them for now. If I could name one of their songs,
this is awesome. Song.
Yeah. It's perfect. It's perfect for what they are and what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yep. First match. The Mac versus Tejano. I noticed early on that Tejano had some family members in the crowd, it looked like.
Yeah. They cut to the crowd at one point, and there was like three ladies holding Tejano Jr. section.
El Tejano Jr. section. Mm-hmm.
Has this like section thing? Is this a thing now?
I guess so.
Like Cesaro section.
Yeah.
Hugger section.
Yeah.
It's just like everywhere.
I guess so.
I mean, can't we do better?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, we can. but Tejano's aunties wanted to really kind of.
It was really interesting that it was like El Tejano Jr.
Mm-hmm.
section.
Mm-hmm.
See, the reason why the Cesaro section works is because of alliteration.
Yes.
You know it. I know it.
That's the only reason it works.
And it's just like, and these signs, which are everywhere, are cropping up everywhere, mm-hmm. is like, it's like wanting to make a sign with the least amount of effort. Sure. I mean, it's like, I go into Word, flip it from portrait to landscape, write something section.
Impact font.
Yeah, not even impact, man. That's Calibri.
Yeah, you think? It's Comic Sans. Also, I think for a section you need more than three. Come on.
Yeah.
Then you got to pick a better size.
The spirit of the Cesaro section was that there would be like one guy would come with like a ream of paper that he had printed, exactly. and he would hand it out to everybody. You can't just show up and be like, "Hey, we're the
table. Look, we made. Did you remember your? Did you print it off? Oh."
Yeah, it was super weird.
Yeah.
Especially because I'm pretty sure we can agree that at Lucha Underground, when you arrive, they have like a whole stack of like professionally made signs that they could give you.
Yeah.
But they just...
No, we're good. We're good. We got these.
Mm-hmm.
We got... I was going to... Anyways. So they they start the match with a handshake.
Which I was like... Is Tejano... That made me really question, like, is Tejano a good guy or a bad guy?
He's a babyface. Remember, he's been hesitant to sign on with Famous B. I think he's at best a tweener now, so I'd say babyface.
Mm-hmm. But they had two handshakes in this match.
Yeah, the second one was funny. But that came after... their work early with, like, their kind of counters back and forth and stuff was like, just way too soft. He was jumping off of pins before he was even kind of down, both back and forth.
I appreciate what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like a fight.
Yeah.
These are two big dudes. I wonder if they were feeling that. Like, maybe they're trying to go, like, play against type in a way.
I don't know. But that opening, remember this opening as we continue, how that, like, they're trying to do these counters back and forth kind of thing. And then it has that opening and they're like, okay, now let's get into the match.
Yeah.
Just remember that. Keep that in the back of your mind.
Okay.
Mac hits that weird drop kick in the ring. Do you remember that? It just looked weird.
It
looked like it hurt.
It was like a running enziguri or something.
Something.
It was very strange.
Yeah.
And it was shot from such a strange angle. Yeah. The angle itself wasn't a strange decision, but it was just...
Yeah.
Like from the hard cam. The
visual look.
It was just so weird.
Yeah. But he hits his flip to the outside. And he hits one of his nice facials. This just felt paint by numbers, I thought, the whole way through this match.
I mean, Trav, I know that you're a big Tejano booster.
Usually.
But
And you're a big Mac guy, too.
I know. I know.
Yeah.
I guess I was surprised at the... Yeah, just mm-hmm. how
mm-hmm.
it was. There wasn't a lot to really grip.
Felt they were kind of dogging it early on. Anyways, it got a bit better when they started doing those chops back and forth. Those chops were nice.
Yeah,
the backbreaker, that kind of tilt-a-whirl backbreaker on the outside. But then it was just like that. Okay, here's a nice move. Okay, and then the pace just slowed. They didn't start the count out until later. It was just like, come on, get to it, guys.
When Mac hit that backbreaker, he really sold his knee, mm-hmm. like slamming mm-hmm. Tejano onto his knee. That looked real to me.
Like someone could really, in a real fight, someone would try that?
No. That, like, if you tried it, you would... The amount of weight that you're slamming on your knee is actually going to do more damage to your knee than to the person you're doing it to.
At least equal, yeah.
And I see that move all the time,
mm-hmm.
performed by all sorts mm-hmm. of different performers.
Crush. Tour of the Islands, they used to call it. Crush.
I love it.
Yeah.
But that's the first time I've ever seen anybody sell the knee afterwards. I liked it. I was convinced it was a shoot injury, man.
Well,
yeah.
There you go. There's your boy. He hits that nice suplex followed by that really kind of strong slam where he picked him up and flipped him around.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. So it was starting to pick up a little bit. And then comes Famous B with the water gun. Max hits a stunner on him. And Tejano, off the distraction, hits a sit-down powerbomb for the win. I wrote, ho-hum.
Yeah. I mean, you know. I liked Famous B. I was surprised we didn't see Brenda because I really felt like that's sort of what this is right, all about. Right. And but I did like, you know, Famous B is something about the cowboy version of Famous B that he is just really leaning into.
Yeah.
It's great. He's doing a fantastic job. Yeah. The smugness of it.
The and howdy. It almost sounded like he said, like, fartner. It almost sounded like fartner the way he said it.
He's just got so much, I don't know. He's just really having a lot of fun with it, for sure. Yeah. Him and Paul London right now. You know, I put them on the same, place. When Mac gave him the stunner, he really sold that stunner. Yeah, it was great. That was a high caliber sell.
Yeah.
And then, and then it was over. And so now what?
Yeah. Well, Tejano advances.
Yeah. Which I had in my bracket,
by the
way.
Yeah, I should mention, I've lost my brackets.
So I guess you don't win.
Maybe I've been disqualified.
Have you lost, and you've lost everybody's brackets then?
No. The other ones I have on my phone, but my phone is dying. So I think I might do an update on the brackets.
Dude, that is straight up whacked.
On the Twitter feed. So keep an eye on that.
Okay. Well, yeah. sorry, everybody.
so we heading from there. We heading to the biker bar. It's got some of that nice kind of biker bar music.
Yeah,
Son of Havoc. The
bartender is wearing a Lucha Underground T-shirt.
I didn't notice that. You're why? Right. Now that you say that, that's stupid. You're right.
No, I mean we shouldn't be so negative, but you know, it's just they're really I say it all the time, but it's like, how does Dario Cueto, if this is an underground illegal fighting thing, how does he sell T-shirts and how does he have cameramen and all of this stuff?
See, I just thought it was a little tacky. I wasn't thinking about the kayfabe reasons.
Well, yeah, and it's like, okay, so maybe she is a fan.
Yeah, she's a ring rat.
Yeah, sure. And then she goes and she, like, has a T-shirt because she attends the matches. I just don't know.
Mm-hmm,
it's too.
It's a poor costume choice.
Well, I mean, maybe if she had it like tied up a little bit, you know, knotted or something, and then maybe leans over. Maybe she passes Son of Havoc one of his drinks. And be like, great match last night.
Sure,
something like that. Because I'm a big fan. That's all she had to say.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
And then in my mind I can somehow mm-hmm. create some connection there. There's some closure between why is she wearing this thing and why. But if right now it just feels like, oh, just one more opportunity to try to sell these Lucha Underground shirts.
Yeah, it's just, that's what it felt.
Tone it down, guys, with that mask.
Yeah. Anywho, Son of Madness enters. Son of Havoc says, "I'm not going back, Madness." On a different podcast, not as good as ours, obviously.
We shouldn't be listening to other podcasts.
Just checking in. I don't think I listened to the whole episode. But they talked about, I don't think we'd ever mentioned this, that Son of Havoc uses a voice modulator.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Son of Madness clearly does as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Their voices are so deep.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah, I don't know why I never really... it's just like, of course they do. Yeah. So this is not going back to the invisible cult.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they came from. This was here's some exposition for you guys, like where these guys come from. So it sounds, yeah, they've got their beef.
And now, here's the question for you. Is the biker gang just a gang, but they're called the invisible cult?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they a biker gang that is also a cult?
I hope it's the latter. Mm-hmm. Are we putting too many fishes in the frying pan then with all the other tribes and stuff? I think it makes more sense to
I love factions.
Yeah.
I love faction warfare. So the more factions, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can somehow, I don't know, bring in some more bikers.
Yes.
And have them all just look exactly the same.
Yes.
And the only way you tell the difference is the thing on their back.
Yeah, and that's why that's the invisible cult. You don't know who
you don't know who's who.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
That can be cool.
Yeah.
Who would you cast as like their like as like their top who are some other wrestlers you could bring in?
Braun Strowman would be fantastic.
But not like somebody who's available.
He'd be like the muscle.
Yeah, somebody who's available.
Oh man. Gosh. Trevor Lee, if you get him to grow out a beard.
Keith Lee, you mean?
No. No, Trevor
Lee. Yeah. Michael Elgin. Would just be good. Insane.
It's pretty great.
Oh, God. Are you kidding me? Tear the house down. And I hear Mark Henry's going to retire soon.
Yes.
He would be available.
I guess so. That's funny. So then we got to another backstage or another segment. It is backstage. Rabbit Tribe playing checkers on.
That was a nice touch.
That was funny. Mm-hmm. That's not Malice Suerte. That's the other one. Premiere after show.
The other guy's name is Malice Suerte and
Slandero.
You're close.
I know.
Oh, it's
Saltador. Is that it?
I think so.
I think so.
We're too. Just so bad with Spanish. This is a real problem for us. Yes. It's a real problem.
Yeah.
I think it is Saltador.
I think you might. Anyways, enter Masquerita Sagrada with a big old present.
I was not sure where this is going. I thought this was going to be the unification of Rabbit Tribe
Or it was going to be Masquerita Sagrada. Like, I thought they were going to open it up and see his that outfit we were hoping. He's like, yes, I'll see you next week. I'm going to put this on. I love the way that Masquerita Sagrada kind of sauntered out after dropping it off. It was great. It's a big box after all the rigmarole getting out. It's a lucky rabbit's foot, and they all are pretty excited. Oh, what was that? What did the card say? I hope this brings you luck.
I interpret it like they were horrified.
Oh, you think so? No, I think it was like, yeah.
Oh no!
Ah, it was just like unbridled joy. You thought because they killed like a rabbit?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that they. I think it was an act of war between.
So next time they see Masquerita Sagrada, or just like it's like a Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes kind of thing, like sending them a message.
Yeah, I mean that would be my question: is what does that actually mean, right? Unless it was like, hey, I'm on your side now.
That's the way I took it.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
Interesting. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we will. It was just the screaming is just hard to interpret.
Yeah,
that's ultimately what the problem.
They're
is.
Just so out there, man. Mm-hmm. But another good performance from Paul London.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't take my eyes off him the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Maybe it's because the only person who's actually has a face, in this whole scene.
Yeah. That leads us to our next match, Drago versus Pentagon Dark. I was going to say we're talking about music. I would recognize Pentagon Dark's music.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I wonder if he uses that elsewhere.
I doubt it. I doubt it. I think it probably, because it would, just the rights acquisition and then broadcast rights for a piece of music. It's, you know, what are the chances are that he individually owns his music, you know, and yeah, he can then license it out.
Good point.
I doubt it strongly.
Mm. Anyway, Drago. Green,
it wasn't green, dude.
Huh?
It was dark. It was like black.
Huh? It looked dark green to me.
What is
wrong with me? What is wrong with you? But Pindar was in green last week, and you thought he was that regular shade of gray.
I don't know. I'm beginning to worry about you. Have you seen those things? Have you seen those viral videos that are going around about people who put on the colorblind glasses for the first time?
Yeah. I'm not colorblind.
That's what people... But if you're colorblind, how do you know?
I know I'm not colorblind. My brother's colorblind.
Is that true?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I... I've seen the tests.
you've seen the tests of like
where you have to like see a number inside the dots.
And you see the number.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about greens, I think. I don't know, dude. You're projecting a lot of green into things.
Interesting.
These guys are wearing... Wait, were you saying that Pindar was wearing green or Pindar was wearing gray?
Pindar was wearing green last week.
Last time. Well, he's always kind of wearing a gray. No,
before that's always been gray.
But it's never been different.
A dull gray. No, I'm quite certain it was different last week.
Pindar has one costume.
Anyways, Drago.
Drago.
Usual green.
Black.
Usual green.
God.
Anyways. Wait, what? Does he have other ones?
I don't. We don't have. I don't have the time.
Oh, right. That's right. There's the black and the blue and the red.
Okay, we'll be here. Question.
Anyways, Cobra Moon, really good work with the chain. I like the way that she's...
Cobra Moon is so good. You know, she's chattering throughout the entire match. Yeah, she's totally engaged in what's going on. She is acting from the moment she walks out to the moment she walks into the back.
This sounds kind of weird to say, but I like the way she uses her chin, too. You know what I mean? The way she kind of sticks it out.
Yeah, because like that's she's masked. Yeah, and that's so she can emote through just her chin and her eyes. And that's basically it. Yeah. And her words, right?
Yeah.
She's fantastic. Always chattering. She was also she'd rattle the chain and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really good.
So this match remember that opening I told you to think about? The exact same opening.
Yeah.
I mean, with some different moves, obviously, but the same sort of thing. But I think that's much better. Not always, but all three of the matches, all three matches tonight started with that. That's why I wanted to keep it. I think the next two were better. But come on, you guys, talk to each other backstage.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a standard sort of opening for matches. At least it's trendy right now among performers.
Yes, I'll say that. But on a show, you got to have at least some sort of, I don't know.
Variety.
Thank you.
Variety in the style of match. Yeah, sure. I agree. I don't fault them for it.
It's not a huge
thing.
It's just like...
I think it's part of the things you can sort of measure to sort of, if every single match opened with it, not all three of these matches did not have the same sort of formula throughout. It was just sort of the beginnings, right? That sort of had that opening sequence. I think that's super standard these days in the same way that if I'm watching, some New Japan shows, there's always going to be the back and forth strikes where they just stand in the middle of the ring and just slap each other as hard as they can.
Yeah, yeah.
But I never feel like, oh, come on, guys, you're repeating yourselves. You know what I mean?
No,
but it's just like, what are you going to do with this moment? This moment that we all know is here. I know. Especially because in the first two matches, I didn't really feel like it was performed to that sort of... It was harder to get swept up in it, right?
I was more swept up this time around. I thought these two had a really nice chemistry together. I thought they were really good together.
Mm.
Definitely a better match than before. Drago hits his flying corkscrew.
That was beautiful. I had not remembered him doing that before.
No, he doesn't do it as well as our boy Phoenix, but he's hit one in the past. Really unique bit of business between the two corners when they were kind of going back and forth. It was... fresh.
Pentagon's got that amazing hamstring kick.
Yeah.
He loves to use that.
Yeah. Drago with some nice roll-up attempts. Pentagon Dark, a great counter into the flip into the ropes. That's what you're talking about, that kick when Drago's doing his kind of hamstring into the ropes, and he got him. Usually, like the timing on that one, he was still kind of going back towards the ropes, it felt like.
There was an inch separating them for that entire sequence.
Yeah, that was
really
great.
Good.
Awesome counter off of the missed arm drag. That was good. That's what I wrote. These guys have a really, really good chemistry. Pentagon Dark hits that package pile driver off of the turnbuckle for the win. I couldn't quite drop snowflakes on us, but I liked it. Post-match, this was interesting. Pentagon goes to break Drago's arm. Super kicked Cobra Moon to stop her from getting involved. Aerostar comes in to help. I'm starting to be like, ooh, this is not going to end well. Shakes Drago's hand. Drago kicks him. Pentagon Dark comes in and breaks Aerostar's arm.
Yeah, that was surprising. I was not expecting that at all. But it made... But halfway through this match, I was like, man, only one of these guys can win. And I don't know how they're going to continue. What they're gonna do with the loser here?
Mm-hmm.
Because Pentagon at all times is one of these guys that has to be kept strong, or unless you're gonna take them through some narrative reason down a path of losing. And I didn't see that happening. And then with Drago, you need him to stay strong as well because you need his story to progress. When he lost, I was really confused as to what was going to happen, and then this whole sequence happened. And I thought it was really a really smart way to continue Drago's narrative. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it was really smart.
Mm-hmm. I think we're starting to see Ultima Lucha Trace matches kind of fall before our eyes here, right? I'm quite certain. Well, who knows how Son of Havoc and Son of Madness, like that kind of made me think we're hearing that Invisible Cult. Maybe these guys might end up chummy chums at some point here.
Huh.
See, I thought that was going to be an Ultima. I had that like almost in ink for an Ultima Lucha Trace match. But now that they've heard of this Invisible Cult, it could be something different to it. But I do think we will get the classic feud of Aerostar and Drago
again
in some way to Ultima Lucha Trace. But yeah, I really like that post match stuff, like you said.
Yeah, totally.
We got just a little bit left.
Yeah, we should go and listen to some words from Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, and NWA Classics On Demand Adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the hard-traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including the Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows plus others available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
So I'm between two right now. I'll hit you with both of them.
Bring it.
First one I had was Damian Sandow.
Okay. Sure. What? Give me more about his character. What's his deal?
He's a little kind of smug. Like a little more like, you know, kind of playing like his character, like he's kind of a, like, just smarter than the rest of them,
like his original, like the intellectual, sure, savior, right? Character,
sure, work that into like a
I love it,
like a chief kind of thing.
So easy. Yeah, hated by the
god
by his officers.
Yeah. Like that, we have a thing where everyone like tries to like understand whatever literary references he makes, even if like as soon as he leaves.
That's good.
What the hell is Dante's Inferno?
Yeah. I like it.
Okay.
Quoting poetry. Good.
Maybe I'll save the other one for next week then.
Oh no! You have to tell us now.
Okay, I was gonna say Big Van Vader.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. In the mask.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah. Sure.
Just convinced that he's the toughest dude.
Or just furious all the time, and they're just like scared shitless
just
of him,
smashing. Like they barely want to do it.
It's like.
Oh yeah.
He's like, and to finally like at the end, like they're scared shitless of him. They barely want to talk to him. And at the end, he's like, "Well, I just got let go."
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That sucks.
And it seems like they're just like, yeah.
Oh my god.
Huge party. Afterwards, he leaves.
Yes.
They just like embrace. Like he's gone.
I love this show. This is my favorite show. Every episode is a new chief. Lucha City Knights. Every episode, there's just a bunch of cops, and they have a new chief, and the chief is a wrestling figure of some kind. And the new chief just makes the cop's life a living hell, one way or another.
Yeah, one way or another. Or except, like, then there's one where they really want to, you know, there should be ones where they really want to keep him on.
Oh, yeah, thing, JR. Then, like, I think they would love JR. Yeah, keep JR around.
Yeah. Great stuff. I think sometimes the chief will be, like, your A plot, but I think sometimes it can be, like, a B or C plot, or even just, like, pretty, like, further, like, tertiary.
Sure.
You know?
I love it.
All right.
I love it.
We need a writer's retreat.
I was gonna throw, in case you didn't have one, I was gonna throw out Red Shoes, the Japanese
referee. I love it.
Doesn't
he
speak
would never
English.
Say a line.
Yeah, but just he's like always, so animated, and he's miming everything, and just like with his hands constantly. And then the opening shot would be him walking through the hallway, but just his shoes.
Dude, here comes the new chief.
Yeah. Elevator opens up, but it's just his shoes. Comes out.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I think.
Just before our last match, we see Pentagon Dark backstage, and he runs into Katrina. And I was like, oh, at first I'm like,
Do
these two have a beef? Do these? I'm like, of course, it reminds us of the was that Aztec Warfare 2? I think so. It was a long time ago. And they had a bit of a feud after that. She said they never forget. Does a little bit of her old hocus pocus, and says Mill will be waiting for him. So I guess this opens up possibilities anyways. I pick Pentagon to win.
Yeah, I mean, you see something like that and you figure that means Pentagon's going to win, right? Because we're going to have Pentagon versus Tejano. We've got Mill versus Jeremiah Crane. Kind of funny that they're taking the focus away from Mill versus Jeremiah Crane in a way. We got Pindar versus Phoenix.
Yep.
And Puma versus...
Dante Fox.
Dante Fox.
Yeah.
That's going to be an insane match.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Mill versus Jeremiah Crane is going to be insane.
I think that'll be great.
Puma versus Dante Fox is going to be insane. The other two ones... You know.
What is it? Pindar against who again? Phoenix.
Phoenix would be great.
Phoenix.
Maybe
would
this is time for Pindar to step up and show us what he can do.
To bring the Steve Payne. And what was the other one?
Pentagon versus Tejano.
Tejano.
Yeah. Show me what you got, man.
Show me what. Yeah. We'll see.
I want to join the El Tejano Junior section. I'll be a proud sign waving member.
I think I got some toner left.
Toner.
I like to keep it close
the
to
toner.
My chest. I don't like to just willy-nilly toner everything.
It's true.
So, Tejano.
What is that about having a home printer and being so
protective
of toner? Because feel it too, man.
Oh, because those cartridges are hella expensive.
Yeah, and they're just such a pain in the ass
to go and get
replaced.
Yeah. And it happens at like the worst time, in like the middle of like when you're doing like a 20-page document.
Taxes. I'm being audited. I got to do this. I got to fax them this thing. I got to print it, and it's only my toner ran out. Who was using the printer? We used to have tons of toner.
I just bought it like 4 months ago.
Yeah, exactly. Never, no printing. Anyways,
leads to our main event: PJ Black versus Rey Mysterio. As Rey entered, it just hit me. It seems like it's been forever since we've seen Rey Mysterio wrestle.
Well, yeah, they said that in the match, that the last time he wrestled was when he wrestled Matanza. Mm. So, I mean, I don't know how many weeks ago that was in the show, but don't forget we had this huge six-month break.
That's right. Anyways, mask is looking good. Good color scheme for him tonight.
Great color scheme. I love everything about Rey Mysterio's gear except for the shiny pants.
Baggy pants. That's a throwback.
It was you can bust it out sometimes for special occasions.
He's stuck with it now.
What's that?
He's stuck with it now. Like, that's like taking the jorts off of John Cena at this point.
No. You can still wear the same pants. They just don't have to be shiny
Oh, okay. Not so shiny?
Yeah.
I don't know. I still feel like that's part of that. I think the material is part of
I guess I would just say
gimmick.
Update the look a little bit.
Yeah.
But I do love his gear. I love how into switching it up he is.
Mm-hmm.
God, how many masks do you think that guy owns?
Lots.
Yeah, probably lots. You're right.
Speaking
this
of gear,
is the premiere.
You must be happy that PJ changed his pants.
Yeah, but it still was like super colorful.
It was kind of like purple and black and
yeah.
It was a change up from the green.
And it's a Darewolf on their side. That's kind of cool.
Okay.
Oh, Kevin Banner. We should have mentioned this in our news and notes.
What's that?
That Kevin Banner recently received a care package in the hospital.
That's right.
And it included...
Care package from Pro Wrestling Tees.
That's right. It included a PJ Black fidget spinner.
Finished the irony. The one toy he cannot play with.
That's right.
Who knows? So here we see that similar start. This one was good. PJ hits that kind of nice rack attack on the... He had to kind of save it after
it's true. Ray he had a bit of an adjustment there.
Yeah. Hit that nice punch off of the top rope, which is
yeah, you know what? I generally discourage...
Yeah.
I would discourage wrestlers from ever doing like a top rope, like double axe handle or a top, like a jumping punch. Yeah. Miz loves to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be like Miz, everybody. No, you don't. Okay. Not in the ring. It's the most in this day and age. Hey, if this was like 1970, I'm sure people would be like, wow, what a move. Mm-hmm. It's not anymore. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is no longer an exciting move,
sure.
But this one looked great.
It looked awesome.
Yeah. Looked great.
There's something different about
Very
it.
Very rare though. Very rare.
And we see loving PJ that who's adding these submission holds to his repertoire. I wrote as well. PJ Black has an it factor. That's my hot take. That's my hot take.
Mm-hmm. He's a handsome guy.
Yeah.
He's got great submissions.
Mm-hmm.
He should have been. What's going on with this
know.
Guy?
I don't know.
Don't know if maybe hopefully the it factor wasn't contained in his like left ring finger. This is terrible. What's wrong with us? Was in a serious accident.
But if you follow on his Twitter, he is on the road to recovery, man. Okay. See, I saw just on a little phone screen in his like whatever camera, but he's like lifting weights and stuff, and I was trying to figure out which digit was missing, and I couldn't.
I guess is that unconfirmed or is that confirmed?
It's Kevin Banner.
It's the Kevin Banner dirt underground dirt.
Yeah.
Did PJ Black lose a finger?
Tell us we're crazy. If we are. Or you know, just let us know.
Say hi. just let us know if he lost a finger.
Anyways, Ray had that.
Because we're going to keep talking about it as if he has.
Yes. Yeah.
So if we are way off base here, somebody please say something.
Yeah. Ray with a nice counter drop kick, an okay strike exchange, leading to that kind of creative exit from the ring, where like he kind of slapped his chest, but he caught him by off that chest slap into a Hurricane Rana.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio hits a nice moonsault to the outside, does his thing for a while, which is always great. Like this guy's kind of got he's got a routine at this point, but it's never. It doesn't get into like Randy Orton territory where it's just like, here we go, then this. Then he does the pile or the DDT off of the middle rope. It still pops. Ray ends with he kind of ends up in a tree of woe. And then followed up by the stomp from PJ. I liked the really kind of cocky cover on this that he didn't.
Yeah, me too.
Looked awesome.
Yeah.
PJ catches Ray for a styles clash, or as they call it, a faith breaker.
Yeah, yeah.
He had hit but one of those both. A while ago. Yeah.
They said both. Yeah. They called it a Southpaw straight up.
Then a nasty ref bump. Marty Elias is out. And then, you know, here you can just do it by clockwork. Yeah. Here they come. But it was nice. I loved that Ray couldn't see Mundo enter, and Mundo is hitting hits the two count.
Yes. Yeah. That was some primo Johnny Mundo stuff. Yeah. God, he's so good.
Yeah. And he just starts kicking ass.
You're just a fat piece of trash. Now somebody get this fat trash out of here.
Jack Evans enters wearing the chin sling. Hits a super kick as they're holding Ray up. Dragonus Tekka Jr. enters. Taya gets involved. Mm-hmm. At this point, I was kind of like, you know what, this was a filler match. This was such a filler match.
It would have been... I actually... I was hoping that PJ was actually going to win, because that would have been such an interesting situation.
Sure.
What do they do next? Yeah. Because now it's going to be Johnny Mundo versus PJ Black for the championship.
Hmm.
How do you play that?
No, that's not what this was. This was just a kind of tune-up. There was no stakes.
Yeah, it was for the number one contendership.
No, it wasn't.
What?
No, it wasn't. It was just like, I got you a match. There's no mention of any of that. They were still selling the you think they would spend all this time building up to this match with the opportunity of a wrinkle? No,
what I thought.
Yeah, no, it was just a little tune-up. Dragonus Tekka scares everyone off with a chair. Ray kind of counters the Razor's Edge for the 619 and his flash for the win. As I said, this felt like just kind of filler, because we've already kind of seen this and it didn't move anything forward. It was like if Lucha Underground did house shows, this was something that would happen in like a house show in the middle of a feud like this.
Yeah,
I thought.
Yeah,
yeah. But you know, like I said, I'm still noticing that PJ's great, and Ray's always great. Still, this was a warmer episode. Let's say no snowflake.
Yeah, I mean, nothing to complain about. It was still decent. And, you know, things progress.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the tournament shows, this is my least favorite, though, I'd say.
Mm, okay, well, yeah.
Ray grabbed the mic. He calls El Chingon Sissimo. I got the sissy part. I'm not sure about the rest.
No idea.
He speaks a little bit of Spanish, plays to the crowd. He says, 4 weeks till the match. I think this is the first time we've got, like, an actual date as to it. So I guess it's going to be right after the tournament ends. Says the one thing you will take home is a 619, but I really wanted to say, like, he was just getting kind of just really white bread here. It's like, the one thing you will take home is a knuckle sandwich.
That's
kind of what's waiting for.
It was.
Yeah.
Some interesting editing there, too. It's hard to say how into it the crowd was. He seemed really a little he didn't seem.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I kind of felt like he was sort of making it up on the spot. Didn't quite seem as confident maybe about it. I don't know. But yeah, I'm with you. Not my net favorite Lucha Underground episode in the world, but certainly.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, the only thing that was particularly embarrassing was some of Vampiro's. We didn't.
Oh my
that.
God, we got to talk about this
because we've been pretty lenient. since I've been back,
this one had really gone overboard with just the amount of nonsense that was being said. Like, I'm talking things that just made no sense at all.
Like, what is going on in your
head?
What
are you even talking about?
Where's this train of thought going?
Yeah. Just so much talking and just anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
But I didn't notice it from Stryker. It was Vampiro.
Oh, Stryker was complicit in it as well. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he let Vamp go on some rant about something, and then he'd be like, great point, my friend.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Yeah. Don't say that.
Yes. Yeah.
It just has to, like, they've been great ever since we've come back. It's the first time they've dipped into this.
Yeah.
You know, in a long time.
Back into the old bad habits.
Yep, but we'll give them the benefit of the doubt, of course.
We keep forgetting to see what's
coming
up. Oh,
what the next episode is. Yeah, you're right. Let's take a look right now. While I'm doing this, where can people find us?
Oh, online? I should tell you. You should be really happy to hear that I got cut from that ad. I'm no longer in the Honda thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we found out during our anniversary dinner. That was really nice. Fifth year anniversary dinner. I got a text from my agent. They had like six different actors, and it was all just kind of filling in like different decades and different looks, and ended up saying, well, we don't really need the 90s guy. That's what I was. I was a 90s guy. I went to the wardrobe fitting.
So you didn't get paid for that?
I still get half of the actual booking, but what you want is the, when it's airing, that's where you make the scratch.
Yeah.
I am on hold for another gig here. Knock, knock. But that was so I guess I no longer have to watch my back.
From the bikers.
Yes. Right.
Okay. Next episode, episode 29, The Hunger Inside. The Cueto Cup's quarterfinals begin. Dario admonishes Matanza. He'll be back
for the first time since the break.
And Marty the Moth continues his unscrupulous behavior towards Melissa.
Melissa Santos.
So you got to think that means that it's Pindar and Phoenix.
Pindar and Phoenix, yeah.
Going to be wrestling. Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. Well, there you are. So how can people find us online?
Follow us on Twitter at @Lucha_Aftergrun. Just look for Lucha Afterground to find us. Or listen to us on iTunes, wherever you find your podcast. Just look up Place to Be Nation. Mm-hmm. That's us.
And we'll be tallying up the...
Yes. We'll have bracket updates...
on the Twitter?
On the Twitter feed.
Keep an eye
out there.
Cool. We'll be here next week.
The question is, will you join us?
Scribango.